This is the Doug Marrone Show.
The Doug Marrone Show.
Former Jaguar Jeff Loggeman and J.P. Shadrick discuss the latest Jaguars news with the head coach. The Doug Marrone Show starts right now.
Welcome into the Doug Marrone Show. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, head coach Doug Marrone. The Jags and the Browns coming up. What's up, coach?
How you doing?
Great. Week 11, 6-3 football team coming off a wild win last week here at home over the Los Angeles Chargers. So the third quarter of the season started off right for you.
It did. It did. And that's how we try to, at least that's how I try to keep the players focused. You know, here we are in the third quarter, and we started third quarter well, you know, obviously with the win. And, you know, the one thing that we haven't done well in the first two quarters is win the second game. You know, we've lost both the second game and the second and the first and the second quarter. So, and that's been something that I brought up to the team and try to just keep them focused on that and not on all the other stuff that's on the outside.
I remember one of your press conferences, you were talking about how, you know, when you were a positional coach and you kind of lived, you know, with your position group, and then when you were a coordinator, you lived with all the positions on that side of the ball. And then as a head coach, you know, it's exhausting because your offense, defense, special teams, you had to be exhausted after this game, because I know me personally, I mean, it was like an hour, you're wired up.
And you guys are in the same boat, because you're living on each play too. And it was not that case. And I didn't realize that until I became a head coach, because I remember after my first game as a head coach at Syracuse University, you know, I was like, man, I don't feel the same way, you know, because pretty much, you know, you do the same thing during the week. I learned a long time ago about either college or the NFL that an old coach had told me when I first started my first job in the NFL. I was at the New York Jets, and a gentleman by the name of Jimmy Ray told me, you know, I was staying up, and there was one point, because I used to have to go on the computer, and I wasn't very good on the computer as far as drawing at the time, and there was a couple of nights where I stood up all night and then went into the next day and coached and practiced. And he said, you know, you're not going to make it. You know, you've got to get a system of, you know, where you're eating the same thing, you're eating at the same time, you're, you know, doing all this at the same time. This is as much sleep you need, things of that nature. And then I remember saying to him, I'm like, oh, you know, he was right, you know, because if you keep going, just keep going, you don't get that right. And then, so I had a great process, and then when I became a head coach, I said to myself, I said, man, I don't feel right now, you know, as a head coach, like after it was over. Then I realized, shoot, I'm going through every single play, special teams and everything like that, and then I've learned to manage that, you know, as far as during the week.
From the exhaustion, though, when do you regroup and get focused? Is the next day after some rest, or how does that work for you?
Well, I think it's kind of like I said after the game, I think that, you know, the one thing I know that, you know, everyone thinks that, hey, you know, you play a game, you know, whatever, you know, I'm not like, you know, going out and, you know, going to, you know, I'm kind of just like, listen, I know I got to get to bed early. I know I got to get a lot of things done. I got to get up and I got to go. So I think for me, you know, it's that type of understanding to know to get back on track, because you got to start, you know, you got to start right away.
How do you turn your mind off? You know, because, I mean, just like anybody else who's got a lot going on, CEO of a company.
I think that's where I'm, like, probably a little bit different and kind of weird in a way. I mean, you know, people describe me that way. I know my family does. You know,
we would never do such a thing.
No. It's like the other day I was telling a story. I'm like, you know, hey, I was at a table. I was by myself, and so-and-so walked up, and I'm thinking, well, I'm by myself. That's pretty much normal. You know, but the problem with me is, the problem that I have that I'm not very good at is, once I'm finished, you know, especially with a win, if we win a football game, I'm finished with that win. I'm on to the next one already. When we lose, I can't say I'm like that, because there's still a part of me that just eats at me for days, you know, and then usually by Wednesday, maybe Thursday, I'm over it, but I'm still so pissed off, I guess is the right way to say it, you know, that I could have done a better job to put our team in a better position. That's how I feel. But as soon as, literally after we win the football game, like on a Sunday, I'll get in my car. I like to be by myself. I'll drive in that car. I'll enjoy it with some music, and then as soon as I get home, then we go through the game with my biggest critics, my wife and kids. Why didn't you do this? Why'd you do that? Why'd you do that? There'll be frustration. It'll be very argumentative. You know what I'm saying? And then I get upset. I go to bed and I wake up the next day and I move on from it. I mean, but really, that's the reality right there.
Head coach Doug Marrone with us. All right, let's move ahead here. This is I know you're going to be a game to game. We're only going one game at a time, but the reality is there is a playoff push coming down the stretch here for this football team.
For you,
well, for me, but I'm going to go with it anyway. I'm going to ask you the question. Because you're going to go game to game, but you still have to manage an injury report that's getting longer and longer, and you want to be playing longer than December, too. How do you balance managing that injury report with the future and what you got to do this week?
I personally don't look that way. You know, honestly, JP, I don't look at it, where are you going to be in December, where are you going to be? You know, I look at it as, okay, where am I today? You know, what do we as an organization have to do today to put ourselves in the best position to win a football game? It's kind of like what I was telling the players during the week. I said, listen, we've won six games, and just so you realize, you young guys that have just come from college, six games is a pretty big thing because you become bowl eligible. But make sure you realize six games in the NFL doesn't mean squat. You know, it doesn't really mean anything. So for me, I never want to take for granted how hard it is to win week in and week out. So I try to keep my focus on what do we have to do this week? What's going to put us in the best situation to win this game? And I don't take for granted, you know, the moment compared to the long term.
Yeah, it's interesting in that, you know, for the majority part of the season, I mean, most of your decisions for game day has been what gives us the best chance to win. And now I don't want to say it's changed because, you know, we really don't know the extent of injuries, but now you're in the point of the season where sometimes those decisions aren't on what gives us the best chance to win. It's what gives us the best chance of being healthy and playing our best because certain guys are injured and can't play at a certain level.
And I agree with that. And I just think it's making those decisions are difficult. A lot of those decisions come into, you know, for myself, talking to the players. The players understand that, you know, we need everyone to be ready to go. And they understand the situation. There's not a player that says, hey, listen, I know we're going to go on a run or whatever it may be, like JP said before. Hey, we might be doing this. We might, you know, there's a lot of what ifs, might be's and everything. But if you don't win your next game, those what ifs and might be's can be gone. So, but at the same sense, you know, you're talking about players of saying, okay, listen, if we were able to maybe not push you so much this week to play, we can have you healthier for a longer period of time. You know, those conversations are in place too. And I think that's, Jeff, what you're alluding to. In other words, saying, hey, let's not try to push this right now because obviously there's a risk here, a great risk. But, you know, let's make sure we're smart about this and say, hey, listen, we have a good situation going into it. Someone else can step in there, and if we can rest it now, you know, you'll be good for a longer period of time. And those are the conversations that you're having.
Well, you know, as part of taking over head coach, you know, obviously the dynamic between trainer, doctor, player, and coach is something that always – I don't want to say it gets tested, but in a way it does because, you know, every player is different. Every situation is different. And this is, you know, your first time through it here with Scott Truluck and Dr. Kevin Kaplan and a lot of these players. What has it been like from that standpoint? Because I know earlier in the season you talked about, you know, with Leonard Fournette, you know, we haven't been through this yet.
Right.
You know, and in reality you haven't been through it with really any player, but certain guys have been around for a while.
I'll tell you, it's been outstanding because, you know, just for the people that are listening, you know, when you go out there, it's more of, you know, Coach Coughlin's involved and Dave Caldwell's involved, and obviously we're sitting down with, you know, Dr. Kevin Kaplan and Scott Truluck, and, you know, the communication that's going around and the questions, it's, for me, having gone through it before, it's been outstanding. You know, and obviously our first thought process is to make sure we're doing the best thing for the player, you know, player safety. And then obviously the player has a big influence on this and what we're doing. So, you know, for me, you know, I get in there with the player. I get in there with the position coach. You know, I'm talking to the player. I'm talking to the doctors, the trainers. We're all listening to the information. And at the end of the day, we're truly trying to do, you know, and it's a fine line. We're trying to do the best job we can for the team, but we're also doing the best job for the player. And both those things go hand in hand.
When we come back, we're on to Cleveland, the Dog Pound. Not like the old Dog Pound. This is the new Dog Pound. The Browns and the Jags coming up. This is the Doug Marrone Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Doug Marrone Show continues right now.
We roll along with head coach Doug Marrone, the Doug Marrone Show, JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, and the Jags head coach. It's on to Cleveland, the Dog Pound, the Browns 0-9, the Jags at 6-3 coming up Sunday, 1 o'clock. This is not like the old Dog Pound days. I mean, the old Cleveland Municipal Stadium was its own unique place.
Yeah, it was like below lake level, and it was a boggy field.
It was. Terrible. I remember playing up there in, I guess it was 87. I want to say we went up there and played, and I remember Clayton and Duper, the receivers, you know, they were like, hey, look, don't be calling any routes that go out of the back of the end zone now, because they still had the warning track in play. They still had the gravel down for the baseball team. And they're like, look, I'm not going to be going back there, you know, laying it out, you know, and laying in that gravel. And then afterwards, I remember when we were all, you know, taking a shower, it was, you know, they still had like all this like hard clay in there. And I remember thinking to myself, I think I'm more dirty now, you know, after I'd taken a shower than when I came back. But, you know, I love the old stadiums. I really do.
Yeah, that stadium was poor playing surface, and by far it had the worst locker room in the National Football League. You had to take turns getting dressed.
Yeah, it was a tough locker room.
It was tiny. You know, so you got a 53-man roster, and it was essentially a baseball locker room.
Yeah, exactly right. I would say it was a baseball locker room.
Mm-hmm. It probably served both, actually. Yeah.
But know, now it's fine.
Yeah, so the new place is fine.
Yeah. You had two guys in each locker, and literally you didn't have enough room. Like, one guy would get dressed, and then you wait for him to get dressed, then you go get dressed. That's how bad it was.
Great hot dogs, great stadium mustard, too, in Cleveland.
Ooh.
By the way. Pretty good defense in Cleveland this year, too. This is a group they've been in some close games. You don't look at the record here for this football team. This Browns defense, they play hard, Doug.
They actually do. I mean, Greg Williams is you know, he's been a guy that's been around a long period of time, you know, as a head coach and a defensive coordinator. And then as a defensive coordinator, is really has an outstanding reputation. You know, his guys play hard. You know, they pressure quite a bit. They have a lot of guys at the line of scrimmage. They're unique on their third downs. The players always play extremely hard for him. I have a lot of, you know, respect for what Greg has done. It's going to be a great challenge for our football team. I think that, you know, their strength in stopping a run is something that we want to establish. So it's going to be a great challenge for us going up there. And it's a tough situation.
Yeah, it was interesting reading up on the Cleveland Browns. I mean, Greg Williams, I know him. He was here in 2008 as the defensive coordinator. His reputation, you know, it depends on who you ask. You know, he's got kind of a reputation. What happened in New Orleans with Bounty Gate, not so good. But I don't think anybody questions his ability to be a good football coach. Last year, the Cleveland Browns 31st against the run. This year, they've ranked themselves at number 4. And one of those guys that I think that impresses me up front and always has, it seems like he gets bigger every year, but it's nose tackle Danny Shelton. Big challenge for Brandon Linder.
It'll be a big challenge for both you know, Brandon and both our guards during the course of the game. You know, Danny Shelton is a guy that, you know, has really good athletic ability, you know, for a big guy. I mean, he's a big guy. You don't really see him on the ground. He plays the schemes real well, has a really good feel for it. And he's someone that's it's very difficult. They point the defense well. They want to force everything to go inside to him. And, you know, it's going to be a great challenge for our guys inside.
Well, when you talk about once they stop the run and their pressure packages, from watching the film of Greg Williams, I don't want to say it's unconventional, But it's very aggressive. You know, he's bringing all these guys, but there's openings in the back end if you can protect up front.
Well, it's twofold, really. There are they're very aggressive, and you know, obviously from a standpoint, if you protect, you got to know where everything's coming from. But at the end of the day, that you know, in certain situations, they'll be one more than you can protect. So from that standpoint, you know, the right play call, the right, you know, maybe hot receiver or someone in that area or that zone that they're not covering, you know, becomes big, and that's where you need to take advantage of it. So it gets to a really like a chess game, you know, when you're in that plan, because if you can get to the right play call or get to the right receiver, you're, you know, in a timely fashion, and that's the key, you know, with the progressions, you know, you have a chance to make a big play. If you don't, then defensively they have a chance to make a big play, you know, with a sack or a turnover. So it's a great challenge. Plus, you add pretty much every time you play, there's going to be something new that you haven't prepared for, you haven't seen, you know. So we've talked to our players about that during the week.
We're going to come back, Coach, and discuss weather with you. And bulletin board material.
Yeah.
How much do you buy into that? Mm-hmm. This is the Doug Marrone Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Doug Marrone Show continues right now.
JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, head coach Doug Marrone. The Doug Marrone Show continues. Jaguars Browns coming up. In frigid Cleveland, Ohio, First Energy Stadium, temperatures in the low 30s, snow is in the forecast. This is a dumb question for a guy from the Bronx that went to Syracuse that played in the National Football League, but is this a big deal, the weather and all this stuff for a football team?
Well, it is for me because I like it.
So that's what I thought you would say.
Yeah.
You grew up in it. You're used to it, right?
I mean, when I was a kid growing up, I mean, the best part about playing football, I'm talking about not organized football when you're a little kid.
Pickup football.
Yeah, pickup football was like, hey, it's snowing outside, let's go. You know what I mean? You know, okay, this tree right here, this is the first down, you know, and you move on from there. But, I mean, that's pretty much how I grew up. And I think, you know, obviously we talked to the players about it. You know, I think it's important just to make sure we address it. But at the same time, you know, the way the game is nowadays with, you know, what they have on the sideline, I mean, you're only out there for a certain amount of time, and then you come over to the sideline, trust me, you're going to be, if you don't watch what you're doing, you can get a sunburn on the sideline. You know, I remember we played, when I was with the Saints, we played up in Buffalo, and it was an awful day. I mean, it was, the weather was awful. And I remember Steve Trapillo, who was my roommate, who's passed away, was an offensive guard. And I remember he walks over to the sideline after he comes off to the sideline, and he takes his helmet off, and, you know, he has it on the sideline. And the one rule is, like, in cold weather games, don't ever take your helmet off.
Never.
Because it gets frozen.
Ah, yeah.
Right?
It's, and then, like, you put it bricks on your head if you put it back
exactly.
on.
So – you know, but now they have the heaters, they have the heated seats, and they have those blowers. Now, those blowers now are pretty strong. And I'll never forget this. He took his helmet, he runs over the sideline, he had his helmet off. He's like, oh, crap, I forgot. It's frozen. So he takes it near the heater. Now, the heater, if you put it like 7 inches from that heater, all of a sudden he put the 7 inches from the heater, and it's like, it just goes right up, and I'm thinking, holy,
goes up in the flames.
I'm thinking, holy cow, am I going to have to go in there now for him? I'm thinking, I'm not ready to go. I'm all layered up, you know, because I knew I wasn't playing except for PAT field goal.
Jacket on.
Yeah, I'm like, oh.
Here, take my helmet.
Yeah, here you go. Take my helmet. Here you go. It fits right in.
It's warm.
Yeah, so I think, you know, it's not as it's not like it was, I think, back in the day.
No, and I think it's a lot different, too, just from, you know, early in my NFL career, you know, the Under Armour gear, the cold weather gear. We were wearing pantyhose.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, pantyhose and Vaseline, whereas nowadays you've got all these, you know, advanced clothing things that are less restrictive, that keep warmth in and everything else. But when you talked about the blower, it reminded me of a funny story. at Buffalo, and you know this guy.
They're all at Buffalo.
It seems
sorry,
like
that. Telling
it seems that way.
Yeah.
And Greg Robinson, who was the head coach at Syracuse for a period of time, who was our defensive line coach defense coordinator for 1 year with the Jets. We're at Buffalo. And you remember back in that era when all the coaches had these sweatsuits, you know, these like kind of Armani-type things,
right.
You know, with the kind of shiny, slick stuff on the outside and the cotton underneath.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what they gave coaches. It was like a lot of starter gear.
Right.
And so they had the propane blowers, which you're talking about,
exactly.
Where you melted the helmet out. Well, Greg is so cold. It's the coldest day in Buffalo Bills history still to this day, minus 40. Mm. And he's standing in front of the blower, and he's going over the still pictures with me.
Right.
And all of a sudden I look down, and his leg is on fire. Because he was standing too close to the blower. I said, Greg, your leg is on fire. And he goes, what? And he just starts patting it down and everything, and it melted the little starter sweatsuit down to nothing. Mm. Crazy.
Yeah, stay away from those things.
We didn't have heated benches back then, though.
No. Mm-mm. It's amazing how far we've come. I mean, back in the day, I'll never forget. So I'm in Miami, and we're looking at the Buffalo Bills and Bruce Smith and all those guys, and they're coming out of the tunnel when they're announcing their names, and they don't have anything on. Mm. And they have, and you see them in NFL films. They're running out there, and the smoke's coming from their arms, and you're like, damn, I don't want to play against that cat, you know? I mean, so I wound up meeting one of the players of the Penn State guy.
Linebacker.
Mitch Farratt was one of the guys who was an offensive lineman. I remember asking him, I'm like, look, dude, I mean, we're all tough guys, but, like, seriously, like, you guys don't wear any sleeves up there. What's the deal? He's like, hey, we got a little deal. This is what we do. I'm like, what do you do? He's like, we take the lube from, you know, what they usually for your ankle tape. Mm-hmm. So they take the lube. They'll put a little lube in your hand, and then you take about the heat, you know what I'm saying, how you can put that heat, like people put heat on their back, and you put about a dime. And you rub it together, and you rub it on your arms, and you know what? You're good for the game. And I was like, damn, I'm going to look like one tough dude now when I go up and play in this cold weather. So I had passed that along as a line coach to everyone that I've gone. And then now, all of a sudden, now you can't do that anymore because the officials check you, you know what I'm saying, for all that stuff going on. So fast forward, I'm at Syracuse University, and we want to create a tough football team. So it's like minus 10, and we have 6 a.m. workouts. So I'm like, okay, you know what? We're going to go outside. I mean, it's snowing, all that stuff. I'm like, we're going to take this team outside. We're going to make this team tough. So I'm like, well, you know what? I can't put on a lot of clothes. I'm going to show them that I'm tougher than all of them. You know, so I do the same trick. I put all the stuff on. I put that, you know, put it on my arms. I put it on my legs. So I go out at 6 a.m. in the morning with shorts and a sweatshirt like this on, but I've got all the stuff on, you know, and literally it was so cold that stuff froze up, and I was like, I had the worst rash and burn for days, and I was thinking to myself, that's the dumbest thing I think I've ever done as a football coach. But what I was trying to prove a point of for the players is, hey, we've got to create some toughness in this football team. It was my first year up there, and
now, wait a minute, did you guys play in a dome?
Yeah, you're indoors.
I
right?
know, but
what are
we
doing?
You still got to be tough. I mean, it doesn't matter where you play.
Final thought here.
That was the worst decision I've ever made in my life.
Doesn't seem like a good one. Doug Marone with us. Final thought here. Your safety, Tashawn Gibson, goes on radio earlier this week and says he's going to drop 40 on the Browns, his old team, and shut him out. How do you respond as a head coach to something like that? What do you believe in bulletin board material?
Well, I believe in a lot. I mean, if someone said that against us, I mean, as a head coach, I'm going to take that and I'm going to put that all over the place. You know, I'm going to make sure that our players are, you know, anything I can find to get our players motivated, that's what I'm going to do. And I think our players understand that. Now, you know, I love T. Gip. I love him to death. And, you know, we just said, you know, hey, T. Gip, come on up here. You know, we had the team meeting. Hey, this is what T. Gip said. You know, we don't want to do that. We respect the Cleveland Browns quite a bit. But, you know, T. Gibb said it. And, you know, as a team, you know, he's part of our team. And we've got to go up there and, you know, protect them, you know, and do what you said. I mean, that's all you can do. So, you know, it's not something that, you know, we'd like to give teams extra, you know, incentive against us. But, you know, once it's done, you can't take it back and you can't say anything. So now you almost got to protect it. So, you know, we're gonna have to step up and you know, and protect, you know, the words of anyone, no matter if I say something or one of the players say something. You know, if we're truly a team and we do those things, we're gonna have to protect it, you know, even when we may say something that we really shouldn't say.
Coach, watch out for flying milk bones this Sunday. Good luck to you. At the dog pound.
Are you serious?
Do they still throw them?
I haven't been up there in a long time.
Do they? I don't know. Maybe not.
Well,
maybe not at 0-9.
I'm sure they do when they're winning.
Probably do.
There probably hadn't been a whole lot thrown recently.
No, probably not.
They used to throw them now.
Hey, listen, I'm telling you, they're, we're going to get the best Cleveland Brown team. I promise you that. We know that. We understand that. So it's, you know, we're going up there, and we know it's going to be a great challenge.
Good luck to you.
Great. Thank you, JP.
Head coach Doug Marrone.
Thank
with
you, Jeff.
Us. Back with more on the Doug Marrone Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
People wanted to make it seem like I was bitter or anything about it. It wasn't about the Browns, man. It was just the type of confidence I have in this defense, man. Obviously, they don't have a Tom Brady, so I mean, to say that about Tom Brady, I mean, that's kind of blasphemous. But, you know, I feel like any given Sunday, man, we can pitch shutouts. You know, we did it against Indianapolis Colts. You know, who I think they have premier guys on offense. And, you know, I think that it was just one of those things. Just my confidence for this defense is uber high right now. So, yeah, I definitely feel like we could pitch a shutout against any team. And just so happened, Cleveland happened to be the next team on the list, and Cleveland happened to be the team that we're going to pitch a shutout against.
There's Deshaun Gibson in the locker room this week answering questions about his Monday comments on ESPN Radio. Doug
he didn't
Marrone
back
show.
Off of it, man.
No, he didn't. JP Shattuck, Jeff Lagerman. Well, they're doing it against the Browns offense that has struggled. They're trying to figure out what the quarterback situation is. The guys have been in and out of the lineup this year. Of course, they have the long history since Kozar of quarterbacks in Cleveland that they keep adding to year after year after year, and that continues this year.
Yeah, they're struggling. And look, the main reason that they're struggling is they've got a very young quarterback in Kaiser, you know, their second-round draft pick out of Notre Dame. And the Browns are always going to get talked about how they passed up on the other quarterbacks. And look, it's a legitimate criticism. And Kaiser may one day be a good quarterback. He has a very talented arm. And when he has time in the pocket and it's a clean pocket, I mean, literally he can make all the throws. His problem is that he has some bad decisions. And when he gets pressure, like most quarterbacks, but I think with him being young, it's hard to make good decisions when you're young because you don't fully grasp an offense and you don't fully understand NFL defenses. And so the decision-making process kind of gets slowed down a bunch. You know, you've got to make them one-dimensional and you got to put a lot of pressure on Kaiser. When I say pressure, I'm talking about from a down-and-distance perspective. Because if you look at what they did against the Detroit Lions last week, they ran for a season high. It was like over 200 yards rushing. And obviously Kaiser had a lot to do with that because I think he had over 50 himself. So he's got some mobility. So he has a talented arm. If he has a good pocket, he has mobility. Okay, he's not afraid to tuck it and run it. And he's got two very good running backs. Okay, Crowell's a good physical back. Duke Johnson Jr. is a good back as far as third down. He also is a nice change of pace back when he is in on the earlier downs. He's their leading receiver. Which is no surprise. Young quarterback once again.
Check down
to the running back, right?
Yeah.
You know, so they may end up or have activated Corey Coleman, who was last year's first-round pick out of Baylor this week. They made that announcement today. Is that a big plus for the Cleveland Browns? I don't necessarily think it is because Corey Coleman wasn't great last year. You know, because it comes down to the quarterback. Until you have a capable quarterback to throw the ball to the guys that have skill, you can only be so productive. But I will say this. Their offensive line's pretty good now. I mean, they're a pretty solid group. You know, obviously they lost, you know, a Hall of Fame type of guy in Joe Thomas at left tackle. He had over 10,000 consecutive snaps in his 11th year, tore his tricep muscle. But the guards, the interior guys, good football player. J.C. Treader, they got in free agency at the center spot, good player. Kevin Zeitler, they paid him a boatload of money to come over from the Bengals, you know, former first-round pick. Joel Bitonio, he is a draft pick of the Browns from a few years ago, good football player. The right tackle, Sean Coleman, that's a concern for the Browns, not because of him, but because of his injury.
He left last week's game with a concussion, and they had to put in a rookie right tackle by the name of Zach Banner, and he actually played pretty well. You know, so they've got a capable offensive line, two good running backs, but a quarterback that is struggling, making bad decisions a lot of times, and a wide receiving core that you don't know how good they are because of the quarterback situation.
We're going to come back and delve into the Jags injury report. Some questions again on the offensive line this week and in the wide receiver core as well. This is the Doug Marrone Show on Jaguars Radio.
I mean, it's one of those things I think we have to understand, you know, flip the mindset. It's one of those things that we're going into a team that, you know, now we're the hunters, so now we have to start beating the team we're supposed to beat. We just have to make sure we go out there and do what we're supposed to do. That team might be 0-8, but they've been in a lot of really close games, you know. So it's one of those things that if you go in there and think you're just going to go in there and waltz in there and walk out with a win, you're sorely mistaken, and our coaches have made that clear. And we know that as competitors.
Blake Jackson in the locker room this week. Doug Marrone Show continues. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman. We had the head coach Doug Marrone in the first half hour tonight. Hey, Logs, it's the injury report is starting to pile up here. This Jaguars team had 12 players on the list today, by the way, which is never good to have that many. Of course, the severity of some of those are different than others.
Yeah, the biggest ones, I think, on that list, Parnell did not practice for two consecutive days, and also Patrick Omame did not practice for two consecutive days. You know, so I think that, you know, and look, Omame didn't finish the game. He was replaced.
Yeah.
Jeremy Parnell was inactive. So I think that brings into question, you know, that's something I think that we're going to be watching tomorrow when the final designation comes out. And I don't think we'll have a whole lot of answers at that point. I think on game day we will get the answers when they finally make the announcement for who their game day inactives are.
Yeah, and that's been the case really the last handful of weeks around here for this Jags football team, especially on the offensive line, having to kind of piece it together at points.
Well, not, you know, look, JP, let's give him some credit for the level of secrecy. I mean, right. I mean, we don't even know. You know, I mean, did we know or have any idea that Parnell was going to be inactive?
No.
No. You know, and that's that is, I don't want to say that's Tom Coughlin to a T because it's not just him, but, you know, look, that's kind of how he was, you know, that kind of stuff is top secret. And they've done a very good job of keeping everything under wraps as far as what their intentions are when it comes to injuries and what the availability is going to be. I do anticipate this week, though, that Dede Westbrook will be brought up to the active roster. And obviously, Calvin Pryor is a possibility at the safety position. But, you know, here's the thing. Somebody's got to go if those guys are brought up, you know. And so it's going to be interesting to see if Dede comes up, which I expect he will, who will get released in his place or put to IR or whatever. And then if Calvin Pryor will, in fact, come up. Because, you know, the defensive side of the ball has been pretty healthy. So I don't know if that's going to happen with Calvin Pryor, but I expect Dede to be brought up.
Yeah, Alan Hearns with an ankle issue has had a boot on and a cart to get around. That was an open locker room today. So obviously not on the practice field this week. So fans are clamoring for Dede Westbrook. Well, what can they expect from Dede Westbrook when he's coming week 11 in his rookie season?
Well, he hadn't played an NFL game yet, you know, so you kind of temper some of your enthusiasm, even though what you saw in the preseason was very impressive. You know, the tempo of a regular season game versus a preseason game, much different. Ask Keelan Cole. I mean, holy cow, in the preseason, Keelan Cole was lights out fantastic, right? He's had some good moments so far. But how long did it take him to finally have some moments, you know? And I'm not talking about good games. I'm just talking about good moments, you know? So, but the one thing that I think that Dede brings that I think can have more of an immediate impact, he's a guy that can take a 5-yard, you know, route, and then after the catch end up having, you know, 20 yards gained. And right now I think that, you know, when we were talking to Doug about how Greg Williams plays defense, where they have aggressive defense, and he talks about, you know, hey, you know, if we, you know, are on rhythm and we make a catch, we can maybe have a big play. Well, D.D. Westbrook has that big play ability because he can make a short catch and then turn it into something going down the field. You know, that's what he did best at Oklahoma.
No doubt about it.
Catching the ball short and then turning it into something getting up the field. He is a legitimate deep threat, but I don't think he's like a true deep threat like Keelan Cole is, where he runs the vertical go route. Dini's more of a threat, catching it underneath and making something happen.
Out in Norman, they call it quicker than a hiccup. That's how fast he is.
No, he's quick now. I mean, he's quick, and right now, the more weapons you can get on offense, you know, the better. The question I have, too, you know, Fournette's on the injury report.
Right, I know.
You know, this is a guy that, I talked about this earlier in the week, that, you know, he was short-stepping in the game. And what I mean by that, and there's another term for it, but I can't say it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like short-footing.
Yes, yes.
Okay, well, what I mean by that is...
Well, hesitant.
Hesitant. And you can tell, well, I mean, when a guy's hurt, he's not willing to really open the stride up and then cut off of an open stride. You know, he's short-stepping because he doesn't want to put some type of body part under strain. And it was very apparent when you watched him run. And then there were a couple instances where you could see that he was limping when he didn't have the ball, like running a route or when he was, you know, going from the backfield to split out and line up in a slot. Mm-hmm. You know, will he be active? Should he be active? I mean, that's a legitimate question now. Because if he gives you the same type of production and the same type of performance that you got last week against the Chargers, and you're going to get the same type this week, in my opinion, it's not worth having him active. This team would be better off with going with the other running backs.
Ivory and Yeldon and Grant and all those
guys.
Yeah. We'll see what happens come Sunday in Cleveland when we return. How about we talk about tonight's Thursday night football game? We haven't touched on that. It's a big one.
Great matchup. Great matchup, and I got my popcorn ready.
It'll be a good one. Titans-Steelers coming
up. Or
should
I say, since it's the Doug Marrone show, I got my bologna ready.
We're all going to be eating bologna sandwiches watching Thursday night football.
I had one Tuesday for the first time in like 20, maybe 30 years. I had one.
Wow.
Just because Doug eating bologna, I said, you know, I haven't had one in a long time. I'll try one. And I understood why. It was 30 years since I had one.
This is the Doug Marrone Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Something that's really important is to not really focus on who we're playing, but just more so focus on what we do. Just keep doing the things that we've been doing to get us to this point so far. If it's not broke, don't fix it. It's the kind of mindset we have. So, I mean, we're not going to change our approach or no one's mindset in there has changed. So we just, you know, still pedal to the metal.
That's Cam Robinson, left tackle for the Jaguars today. He's been on a lot of good football teams in his college career played some teams. There's some dates on that schedule that aren't so strong, let's say. And the question was, how do you focus through a game like that? Well, this is similar. It's still an NFL football team in Cleveland. So,
hey, it's an NFL team. They play good defense. I know that the Jaguars offense, when they turn on the film, they're seeing a good defense. So I don't think there's any mystery there or, you know, taking them lightly. I can tell you that because they've got a good defense. Now, when you turn on the Cleveland Browns tape, you see a good offensive line. You see a good running game. When you watch the quarterback, you go, yeah, he makes some bad decisions, but at times he makes accurate throws. And I think that's part of, you know, being a pro, you know, and growing as a football team is being able to, you know, to get ready for all opponents. And here's the thing. You don't want to be the team that gives the Browns their first victory.
You do not.
You know, because that's, you know, look, that's embarrassing, right?
No, especially when you're in a playoff run.
If you're an elite defense, okay, are you going to allow the Browns to score enough points for your team to lose? No.
No. If you're that good, if you're talking like you're talking on radio.
And look, I think that's what makes this team defense, because, you know, I think this the best part of this team is its defense. That's what makes this team special. Is that they play at a defensive level that is – they're setting their own bar, okay? It's not about, you know, what the offense does. They have a bar that they want to achieve because they want to be great. Jalen Ramsey wants to be great, you know? Malik Jackson, Calais Campbell. I mean, these guys, they all want to be great. They want to be great collectively as a unit. And so if you want to be great, you beat a team with a young quarterback by yourself. You don't allow them to score.
And maybe you score on defense a time
might,
or two.
You might.
Why not?
You might, you know. And, you know, I will say this, too, about Cleveland. Look, this inclement weather thing is no joke. When I say that, if it's expecting some type of snow-rain combination, it's going to be in the low 30s. Okay, the ball, the leather gets hard and it gets slick. And, you know, my prediction with Johnny Ozone, okay, on Jaguars.com.
Oh, you're giving a teaser
of
this?
Which you talk about, you know, how do the Jaguars win? How do the Browns win? The Browns can win if they take the ball away from this team. And in an inclement weather day, ball security is a big deal. Big deal. Go back to the 1996 AFC title game that the Jaguars, I was a part of, when we went to New England. Okay, we had a costly turnover. Two of them in that game. One of them was an interception. Another one was a fumble. Okay, slick, wet ball. Cold ball. You know, and that's what cost you games.
We're going to come back and wrap it up, discuss the week's the remaining schedule this week, let's say, and tonight's game, Titans-Steelers on Thursday Night Football. This is the Doug Marone Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Doug Marone Show continues right now.
Final moments of the Doug Marone Show. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman. We had the head coach in the first half hour. And for those on our flagship station, 1010XL, stick around. Jaguars Thursday is next, where we will hear from pride of the Jaguars left tackle, Tony Boselli, on location in Pittsburgh this evening for Thursday Night Football. We'll get to that game in a moment. One final thought about this Browns football team. They've acquired all these draft picks over the years, and that's kind of their thing now.
Three first-rounders this year.
I know, right? And they've got some players coming through there and all that. Myles Garrett, defensive end. We haven't talked the whole show about him, a guy who, I mean, he's one of the great players coming out last year.
Well, I mean, athletic freak, you know. He played in four games. He only has two starts, and he's got a sack every game that he's played in. So four sacks on the season. He's very raw. He's got a long way to go. But you can see that he has some serious skill. But he doesn't have a lot of moves yet. You know, right now, Ngakoue is a better pass rusher than Myles Garrett. I think eventually Garrett has the ability to be a better pass rusher, and he's got an excellent coach now. Former Jaguar great, Clyde the Glide Simmons.
Really?
Yep, is the defensive line coach in Cleveland. Looking forward to seeing him this week.
That? Looking forward to seeing tonight's game, Thursday Night Football, the Titans and the Steelers. Well, the Titans, of course, it's 6-3. The Steelers are 7-2, and this has implications certainly for the Jaguars if the Jags keep on winning and make it that way. I guess from a Jaguar fan perspective, you want the Titans to lose first. They're in the division, and worry about the Steelers and the seeding and all that when it matters.
Well, you beat the Steelers, you know. So I mean, you got a little bit of an advantage there. Mm-hmm. But look, it's a great matchup. There's a lot of storylines to it. Mike Mularkey, obviously. Spent plenty of time in Pittsburgh, player coach. Dick LeBeau, longtime Steelers defensive coordinator, now the defensive coordinator for the Tennessee Titans. So there's a lot of connection there. And Dick LeBeau knows that Pittsburgh Steelers offense. You know, so I think it's going to be a great game. It's in Pittsburgh. Mike Mularkey, I'm sure, would love nothing more than to get another AFC win and to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers at their own place.
Ben Roethlisberger has a history of primetime success. He plays very well under the lights.
Yeah, but I will say this about Ben. Look, he's not having a great year. I mean, I said this prior to the Jaguars going up there when they picked him off five times. I said, when you turn on the tape, Ben Roethlisberger looks like he might have one foot out the door already. I mean, it's just the way he's playing. You know, he's not playing reckless and kind of making things happen by extending plays. You know, and that kind of was, you know, what made Ben Ben, and I think that hurts the Pittsburgh Steelers. But it's going to be a great matchup. I'll put it this way: I will watch this game tonight from whistle to whistle. It's going to be a great game.
All that about Ben. His team's 7-2, though. They got some parts around
him. Well, I mean, look, they play great defense. Yeah. I mean, they are playing great defense, and they've got the best running back in the game who's getting more touches than he ever has in his career, and they still have the best receiver in football in Antonio Brown.
So, should be a fun one tonight. Our thanks to head coach Doug Marone.
Who are you picking tonight?
We'll find out in Jaguars Thursday. For those on our flagship station, that's next on 1010XL Radio, Jaguars.com, the Jags app, and Jags social media. Thanks for listening to the Doug Marone Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.